7, and you might like to follow that in the Bible. Do not judge others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law.
Kids, you're doing so well. I hardly know you're in the room. Just working away. I'm going to change that though, I'm sorry. We're going to play a game. So kids, if you want to put your folders down, this is for you, and anyone can play. So I'm going to give you a series of choices. So two options, and you get to choose with the two options whether you go to this side of the room or that side, okay? So I'm going to give you two things. You can either go to that side or that side, and anyone is welcome to play. So if you want to play, stand up. It's compulsory for kids. Adults, it's optional. All right, so ice cream or chocolate? So you can only have one or the other. If it's ice cream on this side or chocolate over here. Ice cream, chocolate. All right, that's the way. Very good. All right, next one. Colours, either green or purple. Green, purple. Okay. Cat, dog. Cats, dogs.
Yeah, or neither.
Reading, watching TV. Reading books, watching TV. Yeah, books win. All right, night time or morning time? Night time, morning time. All right, night has it. And the beach or the mountains? No, it's one or the other. The beach or the mountains. It's no sitting on the fence. One or the other. All right, the beach has it. All right, grab a seat. Now, as Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about a choice. A choice that he wants his hearers to make. He gives two options. He gives a series of options in this last chapter. You got the narrow gate or the wide gate. True prophet or false prophet. Good fruit or bad fruit. Genuine faith or not? The wise man or the foolish man? And building on the rock or building on the sand? Just one after another, Jesus puts before us two options. It's going to be one or the other. And every time he gives us a picture, a word picture, which makes it really easy to understand. And the last one is the conclusion to it all, to everything that he's been saying. And his point seems clear in all of this. Jesus wants us to do the Sermon on the Mount. So let's have a look at the very last picture that Jesus gives. He says, this is the conclusion of it all. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So what's the choice there? Well, hear these words and put them into practice, or hear these words and don't put them into practice. Pretty simple. That's the two options that Jesus gives. Now, the crowd that have gathered to hear him, they've heard everything that Jesus has said. We've been in it the last 10 weeks, all term. The crowd have heard it. What are they going to do in response? Will it make any difference? These words Jesus has spoken, will it make any difference to their life? Well, it very much sounds like Jesus does want them to do the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus doesn't just speak these words so that he would be remembered as a fine teacher, one of the great teachers of all time. No, right back at the beginning, he announced, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That was his message, repent. And then the crowd gathers and he speaks and he tells them what repentance looks like. To repent means to change. And Jesus wants his words to make a difference. He wants us to hear and to do. So we need to ask ourselves, is there any change in us? Whether we are doing these words. Now, we have said all along that this is not a works theology. We do not do in order to win God's favour. Jesus speaks against doing in order to look good. Because isn't that what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing? They were about doing, but for them it was so that they look good to those around them and also to God. But no, Jesus has taught us here what real righteousness looks like. And it is all in the context of grace. So we do not to win God's favour, we do because of who we are. Because, as we've said, having God as your Father makes a difference. We've said how it changes things religious. We looked at giving to the needy, praying, fasting. We've said it makes a difference to things material, to the things that we treasure and value, how we use our money. So this is the first thing to say. As Jesus here wraps up the sermon, Jesus calls us to do the Sermon on the Mount. And we can, through the relationship that we're now in, having God as our Father, we can do this. We've been saved by Jesus, and we're now living on the other side of when Jesus spoke these words. We are on this side of the cross. We are saved by Jesus, and we've been given the Holy Spirit. So the question for us is, how are we going? In these 10 weeks, I'm not sure how many you've been here and you've got to hear, has there been change in your thinking and in your doing? As we've gone along, I've tried to share with you what God has been saying to me in this and what I've been learning. I noticed just this week that my prayers, each morning I was praying the Lord's Prayer. Now this is something I haven't done before. But this week I was starting my prayers with the Lord's Prayer. And it was really helpful. It is a good prayer. It acknowledges God as Father. And then it praises His name. Hallowed be your name. And then it prays for the kingdom. It is a really good prayer, and it's getting the priority right, recognizing who God is and that He be hallowed, praying about His kingdom, and then praying about myself. So that's been helpful. And even in life group, I was saying, well, it's not something that we need to say word for word. This is a model. These are the type of things to be praying for. Perhaps the biggest thing that I've learned in all of this is all the talk of Father and how that makes a difference right throughout. That really hit me, how much Father, your Father in heaven, is mentioned here on Jesus' lips. And that's really helped me in my thinking. Has it helped me in my doing? That is the question. Oh, the second thing I want to look at is what is the response of the crowd? As they hear these words, what do they make of Jesus? Well, they see that Jesus speaks with authority, real authority. Now have a look, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They are amazed. They are astonished. Because Jesus, he speaks about big things, the kingdom of heaven and how to enter it. He speaks about how to live life now. He speaks about the law and the prophets and how he has come to fulfill them and how their righteousness can surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He speaks and they are amazed, astonished. That's a good response, isn't it? He has their ears. But it is possible to be amazed and not to do. To think, wow, who is this man? Isn't that great? But to go off and to be no different. They can hear and not put these words into practice. See, Jesus calls us to do the Sermon on the Mount, not just be amazed. Jesus not only speaks with authority, he has authority. And I saw this in a verse here this week that I hadn't seen before. Had read it a number of times this term and previously, but hadn't seen it. I'm sure it was here. It just didn't hit me, but as I read it, it was like a flashing light. Verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So two things there. Firstly, he talks about people who call him Lord. And in the next verse, verse 22, he takes that further, speaks of them not just calling him Lord, but then doing things in his name. And the second thing is, he calls God his Father. Now, we've seen Jesus talk plenty about your Father in heaven, the prayer, our Father in heaven. But it's another thing, isn't it, to say, my Father. That's what Jesus says here. That God is his Father. This is the authority that Jesus has. That God is his Father in heaven. Remember earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, we were there in January, what happened when Jesus was baptized? And the heavens were opened, and then you had that voice from the heavens declare, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then when Jesus is resurrected, what is it that he says there? He gathers with his disciples, and he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." He claims to have all authority. And here in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks as the one who will judge. Verse 23, he says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." Jesus is saying he is the one who will judge. Judgment, though, that is something that God does. God is judge. It wasn't just for anyone. And we see that right at the beginning of the chapter. His opening words, verse 1, "Do not judge, or do not condemn, or you too will be judged." And then you got that great imagery where I might have you might have a speck in your eye, and I want to judge you, but I got a plank in my eye. She's saying, do not judge. God is judge. Yet Jesus here is saying that he's the one who judges. Why? Because he has the authority to do so. Authority has been given to him, and we know him now that he is the risen Lord Jesus. He is alive and he reigns today. So when Jesus speaks these words, he doesn't just speak them as another man, but he speaks them with the authority of God. These are God's words. And the crowd can sense something of that authority. And we, this side of the cross, some 2,000 years later, we're in a much better position to see who Jesus is, knowing that he's gone to the cross and that God has raised him up. And now he does have all authority. And he will come back one day to judge. So, he calls us to do the Sermon on the Mount. He not only speaks with authority, but he has authority. The question is, will we heed his words? Will we live them? Will his words make a difference? 20 years ago, there was a guy named Michael Hart, and he wrote a book called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. And it's not the 100, the greatest people who have ever lived. This is looking at the most influential, who has lived and had the most influence on other people. According to him, number one, the most influential person in all the world is not Jesus. Number two, the most influential person in all the world, number two, is not Jesus. According to this guy, Jesus comes in number three. Number three. Why not number one? 2,000 years later, look how many Christians there are. People who were only Christian because of him. So why not number one? Number one was given to Muhammad. He gave Muhammad number one because, as he saw it, Muhammad has more influence over the lives of Muslims than Jesus has over the lives of Christians. Ouch. Oh, what do you make of that? Now, he's not talking about Jesus' lack of influence over unbelievers. No, people who claim to follow him. So he's looking at Muslims who claim to, they're following the teachings of Muhammad, Jesus, us following Jesus, and he says it's the Muslims who take Muhammad's words more seriously than Christians take Jesus' words. David Cook, a few years ago, wrote this book called The Unheeded Christ. Jesus demands serious obedience. And it's all based on Matthew's gospel. Now, some say that the Sermon on the Mount is not to be lived, that it's too hard, and we can't do it. And what its purpose is showing us that it is impossible, and therefore we need Jesus, who is perfect and who does it all for us. Now, while there is some truth in that, and we do desperately need Jesus, I don't buy it. I'm convinced that Jesus does want us to do the Sermon on the Mount. He calls us to do it. And we can. Not on our own, but only through Jesus and having God as our Father. And that has only come about through Jesus. So we don't do in order to find favour with God. And that really marks Christianity out from all religions. And that could be one reason why Michael Hart sees that the Muslims doing more. But the big difference for us, we do because of who we are. That is the big difference for us, who we are. Because God is now our Father. For us, it's all about relationship, the relationship that God has called us into. I think this is the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about repentance, he talks about real change, and that takes place through relationship, through having God as your Father. See, when we understand that God is our Father, that we are his children, and that only comes about through grace, then we know that we're not doing in order to win approval. We're living this way because he's called us to be part of his kingdom, that we're part of his children. And as his children, we are to act like our Father. And here Jesus teaches us what that kingdom life is and what it looks like to live in a way as a child of God. We get it only through Jesus' death and resurrection. And we've got it. We have this life. So let's finish with one of Jesus' other word pictures here. One of his choices, his two options. So he puts before us two gates. A narrow gate on this side. We have a narrow gate. And the other option that Jesus gives is a wide gate. And that is over here. So you got that? You can picture a narrow gate. Just an incy-wincy gate. And this one? This one's wide. And Jesus says, broad is the road. And what does it lead to? Destruction. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. I'm picturing in my mind Sydney 2000 at the Olympics, which was fantastic, but the Olympic Boulevard. And just thousands and thousands of people all there, all just heading in one direction. From all nations, packed there together. Wide is the gate, broad is the road, many enter through it, but it leads to destruction. But Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Where does it lead? What does it say? Life. The narrow gate. Enter through that and it leads to life. And only a few find it. Well, if you're trusting Jesus, you've found it. You have that life. We've entered through Jesus. He, if you like, is the narrow gate. So now he calls us to live that life. Not to cross back over to the wide road. So now we've got the way of God, or we've got the way of the world. And now that we've entered through the narrow gate, we are to continue down that track. And Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, he shows us that life. We've entered into relationship with God the Father. And as our Heavenly Father, he wants to give us good things. The previous bit, just before about the gate, spoke about that. Again, with great imagery. So let us live with him as our Father. Let us love living the life that he calls us to live. And let us be influenced by Jesus. Big time. That our life is turned upside down. I like those upside down umbrellas. Let your light shine before the world. That they see you. That they see your good deeds. and praise not you, but your Father in heaven. Yeah, we've entered the narrow gate. Let us live that way. Let us be people who hear these words and do them because of who we are. Well, before I pray, I want you to think, take a moment to think of everything that you've heard in the Sermon on the Mount, whether it's just today or whether you've been here for the whole series. Take a moment and think, what is it that you've heard? What's one thing that has struck you? One thing that you've learnt? Or one way in which you do want to respond? Might be one verse, might be an image. Have a think about it, take a minute, share it with someone next to you, and then I'll come up and lead us in prayer.